service, I would like to speak about the blood loss that Jesus suffered and the awesome wonder-working power in his blood. Jesus lost a major amount of blood during the scourging and the crucifixion. This morning I would like to discuss the significance of the blood of Jesus, what it means to us. So what about the blood loss that Jesus suffered? Jesus began by losing blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 24:44 tells us, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." And this is medically documented. It's called hematidrosis. Jesus bled profusely during the scourging. We remember that his arteries broke open from the beating with leather whips and pieces of lead and bone at the end. This caused a major blood loss. The skin on his back was torn in ribbons and was still bleeding during the crucifixion. The crown of thorns was placed on his head that caused much bleeding. His hands and his feet were pierced with heavy wrought iron nails and bled for 6 hours. Jesus was bleeding from head to foot. He didn't die quickly. Jesus was a living, bleeding sacrifice. He died a most awful death. Jesus lost a tremendous amount of blood during the scourging and crucifixion. It wasn't easy for Jesus to shed his blood. His blood didn't drip out of a catheter. He was beaten most terribly. His blood was shed because of a most awful, horrendous beating and crucifixion. He must have felt very weak from a major blood loss. Yet he never lost sight of his mission, his reason for coming to earth. Jesus remained on the cross, and no one, no power, could make him come down from the cross because of his infinite love for us. He had an opportunity for 6 hours to come down from the cross. 6 hours he had to change his mind and to come down from the cross, and was even told to do so, but he would not. Matthew 27:42 reads, "If he be," this is what they told Jesus from the foot of the cross, "if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." But Jesus remained on the cross for us. What about the blood and sacrifice of Jesus? What happened to the blood sacrifices under the law of Moses? Through the Mosaic law, God commanded the shedding of an animal's blood for the atonement of sins. We don't perform these sacrifices anymore. Were they not good? Hebrews 9:22, I'll read it to you. "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Leviticus 17:11 reads, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." Now, there's a commentary from Dr. Criswell. It says, "The principle of blood atonement is God's divinely ordained remedy for the problem of sin. The scriptures insist that atonement for sin is not possible apart from the shedding of blood." So what happened to these blood sacrifices? I'm going to read to you. You can turn to it if you want, Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 4 to 7. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 4 to 7. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 4. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" God accepted the sacrifice of bulls and of goats, knowing that Jesus was coming. But the blood of animals was not sufficient to wash the soul. There was essentially only one way for sins to be forgiven and for man to be redeemed, and that was through the sacrifice and death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus had to become human and had to become the sacrifice. He was God's perfect lamb without sin, without blemish, who became a sacrifice for sins for the entire world, past, present, and future. That's a lot of sin. The entire world, past, present, and future. And Jesus paid it all. In the Old Testament, sins were forgiven as if on a credit card, but someone had to come and pay the bill, and Jesus did. Only his blood can wash away sin. You know what atonement means? Atonement means covering. So the blood of bulls and animals covered our sin, but someone had to come and wash it away. Jesus Christ did it. Thank you, Jesus. His blood doesn't cover our sins. It washes it away into the depths of the sea. Can we say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34 reads, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more, only our God." Do we realize what the blood of Jesus means to us? The sin of our entire life is forgiven. From the hymn, "Since Jesus came into my heart," the second verse says, "And my sins, which were many, are all washed away." Thank you, Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus mean to us? In an article, the late David Wilkerson states that the blood that flowed at Calvary was not wasted. It didn't fall to the ground and disappear. This precious blood was collected into a heavenly fountain. The blood of Jesus was too precious to remain in the ground. The author of another article said that, compared to the precious blood of Jesus, the most valuable things of earth, such as silver and gold, are reduced to meaningless, perishable things. The wealth of the entire world cannot compare to the value of the precious blood of Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus mean to us? Well, we read in Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 23, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel of the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you.'" Moses instructed the children of Israel to put the blood of a lamb on the lintel and the two doorposts. At midnight, the firstborn of all Egyptians, including cattle, were struck dead. When the destroyer saw the blood of the lamb on lintel and doorpost, he did not go into the house, and the firstborn was spared. The blood of a lamb spared the firstborn. Our salvation was brought through the blood of a lamb, the Lamb Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 7 of the same chapter, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Verse 8, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. Verse 11 of the same chapter, he shall bear their iniquities. We owe everything to Jesus. He shall bear your iniquities. We owe everything to Jesus. There's another view of the power in the blood of Jesus. He is the only person standing between us and an eternity of torment in hell and the lake of fire. The blood of Jesus gives us access to the throne of God. We remember an event in the life of Queen Esther. Queen Esther and all the Jews at Susa had to fast and hope that the king would raise the golden scepter before she could go in and speak to him and make her plea to him regarding the fate of the Jews. Because remember, there was a man named Haman that wanted all the Jews dead. Although she was queen, she could have been put to death because she was not summoned by the king. When we go to God in the name of Jesus, he raises his golden scepter for us because we said we go in the name of Jesus. He raises the golden scepter and says, my child, what is your request? We do not have to fast or fear for our lives or wonder if the Lord will hear our petition. From a song called Rose Colored Glasses, there's a line, most beautiful. His gaze, the gaze of God, his gaze always passes through rose-colored glasses every time he looks on my heart. In other words, God looks at us only through the blood of Jesus. His gaze always passes through rose-colored glasses. Therefore, we have access to the throne of God only through the blood of Jesus. Do we realize the tremendous value and significance of the blood of Jesus in our lives? Someone wrote, when we consider and honor the blood that makes our access to God possible, demons tremble, angels snap to attention, and God himself leans forward. I want to read that again. That is an awesome statement. When we consider and honor the blood that makes our access to God possible, demons tremble, the angels snap to attention, and God himself leans forward. I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. When Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. For he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and of calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and the bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Jesus became our high priest and offered his own blood for our sins. By his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies and gained access for us to enter this most holy place. As we remember from previous messages, I won't go into detail now. Holy of Holies was restricted in the Old Testament. Only the high priest could enter once a year. That's it. Only the high priest. And if he did anything wrong, he was struck dead. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we can enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. By his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies and gained access for us to enter this most holy place. When we come to God in prayer, we say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. At that point, we are in the Holy of Holies in communion with God. We can bring our petitions to God before the mercy seat and God will hear us. We can come to the mercy seat in this Holy of Holies only because the blood that Jesus shed for us. What happened when Jesus expired on the cross? Matthew 27:51 tells us, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. Top to bottom, meaning that God tore that veil himself. Man torn it would have been from bottom to top, like this. If it says from top to bottom, God did it. In other words, welcome into my presence. You can come into my presence only through the blood of my son Jesus. Leviticus 16:2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, in other words, the Holy of Holies, within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have access to this most holy place where we can have communion with God. We have access to this most holy place, and we do not have to fear dying because of the precious blood of Jesus. We can bring all our cares and problems to him, whatever is bothering us. Remember the colors of the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The colors of the veil: crimson, representing blood; purple, signifying death; and blue, representing royalty. Know what that means? Only through the blood and death of a king, the King of Kings, could we pass through the veil and be in the presence of God. A line from a song: I found a way through the blood, thank you, Jesus. I found a way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God, thank you, Jesus. The blood of Jesus protects us from all the destructive powers of Satan. Satan is powerless against the blood of Jesus, absolutely powerless. In his book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, Andrew Murray states that the blood of Jesus destroyed the power of death, the devil, and hell. We have victory through the blood of Jesus. I'm just going to read to you Revelation chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, the devil, has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great
Jesus
death."
Jesus Christ, the rock of your salvation, is a fortress that will defeat enemy.
Knowing that he has only a short time. So Satan is defeated by the blood of Jesus. He is powerless against the blood of Jesus. Michael and his angels overcame Satan by the blood of Jesus. Demons,
it doesn't matter when he comes,
the mentioning of the blood of Jesus. Satan and his demons are powerless against the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance through the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood to deliver from all sins, habits, and addictions. The blood of Jesus can deliver from the power of Satan. There is healing power in the blood. When Jesus was scourged before the crucifixion, his arteries broke open and he bled profusely. But Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "By his scourging we are healed." The blood of Jesus can heal everything from the common cold to cancer and heart disease. It can heal and wash away conditions such as sorrow, depression, worry, fear. The blood of Jesus can heal all your hurts. It can do anything. It can even raise the dead. The blood is powerful in the healing of all spiritual conditions also. It can deliver a person from any condition. There is unknown, wonder-working, mind-boggling, infinite power in the blood of Jesus. The blood that Jesus willingly and freely shed for us. Why is the blood of Jesus so great and infinitely powerful and phenomenal? I wonder, there's a line in the book called "The Power in the Blood of Jesus." It says, the life is in the blood. The blood of God, the blood of God who became man. He said the power, this is Andrew Murray, who said in his book, "The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus." Now we have DNA in our cells. The DNA in Jesus' blood is God. The DNA in Jesus' blood is God. The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. The power in the blood of Jesus knows no limit. There are no boundaries to the power in his blood. The awesome, indescribable, undefined, unknown, exceedingly abundantly infinite power in the blood of Jesus. This morning, if you have any condition that needs the Lord's attention, physical or spiritual healing, sorrow, depression, release from any condition, a financial burden, plead the blood of Jesus over your condition. The solution to every problem, the answer to every need, victory over every condition is in the blood of Jesus. So we'll continue the service now at this point. Come to a very sacred point in the service. Just want to move the screen over here so that those online could see the Holy Supper. Power up here, awesome presence. Say, Lord, make me worthy to even touch what is here. When Jesus instituted the Holy Supper, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup and gave thanks, and said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.